what is wellness?
Health.
Health? What else?
Eating.
Eating right. Oh, good first impression. I'm not thinking. Good. Anything else?
Exercise.
What else?
Resilience.
Right, resilience.
Being aware of what's happening in your body.
Self-awareness.
Balance.
So,
I was going to say balance of mind, body, spirit.
Right. So this is excellent because there is like physical health, right? And then maybe we're talking about wellness versus illness. And so when we think about health, right, we're thinking about where are we on that continuum of physical wellness, physical illness, or where are we, right? And, you know, for most of us, it's not necessarily one side or the other, but somewhere in there. And on different days, it's different, right? So the World Health Organization says wellness is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely an absence of infirmity. Complete physical, mental, and social well-being. That's like the highest bar. Like I can't even like reach to draw the bar, right? It's so high I can't even touch it. Because complete physical well-being, mental well-being, and social well-being, it's like on any given day, right? No. So that's a high bar from the World Health Organization. The National Wellness Institute, a conscious, self-directed, and evolving process of achieving full potential. That feels a little more realistic, right? Even if we're just on the evolving process, we're, you know, doing wellness, even if we're not achieving it yet. We're on the journey to achieving it. So, woohoo! Thanks, National Wellness Institute, for helping us out there, right? But it is an active process of, you know, making choices toward living a healthier life. And, you know, maybe coming to massage school a lot, if you express that, it was like, I am doing this thing for my wellness because when I evaluated my life, this is what it felt like I wanted to do. And wellness is an active process. So you become aware and make choices toward that experience as an active process of becoming aware. So, you know, we're not thinking of wellness anymore as like, I go to the doctor gives me this pill or that shot, and then I'm better and I'm well, and that's it. And I have no responsibility, it's only the doctor, right? It's changing to people believe more now that our wellness has a lot to do with the choices we make and the things that we do in our lives. The Eastern model of wellness, I heard one time somebody described it as that the practitioner gets paid as long as you're well, and then if you get sick, they don't get paid. Like, so the wellness is the responsibility of the two of you together, working together. And if that's not happening for whatever reason, then, you know, the person doesn't get their money until you're well again, right? So it's kind of an interesting, like, thinking of the wellness as a team effort, right? How are we working together with my gifts and also the intentions of the other person, right? So when we work with clients, then what are we? When we walk into the massage room, does the light behind us glow, and then we have like this lovely halo around ourselves, and you know we hear ah, as our hands come toward our client, right? No, we're not like the healers. We're not the all-knowing one, right? And honestly, be really careful if your clients are doing that. I had a lady once who came to me, and every time she was really, you know, gracious and effusive and appreciative. And then one day she said to me, "Oh my gosh, I couldn't live without you. If you ever leave, you have to tell me because I need you. And if I didn't have you, I don't know what I would do." And I was like, don't ever schedule her with me again. Like, I told the front desk, like, this is unhealthy. We have gone to a level that, I mean, I had tried over the weeks to be like, no, you're going to physical therapy, you're doing your exercising, you're doing your stretching. Look at all the great things you're doing for yourself, trying to kind of help her see her part in it. And she wanted me to be like the healer. Can you fix me? Somebody actually said, I have a lot of things going on, so I scheduled a 90-minute massage. Hopefully you can fix it all in 90 minutes. I'm like, no, that's not really how this works, right? I massage my son sometimes, and he doesn't like to exercise or stretch, but he has issues in his lower legs, and I've showed him all the stretches and I've told him. And finally, the other day, I said, you know, if I'm working and the client's not working and that keeps going, I eventually stop working with that person. I said, you're about this close. Do your stretches. I cannot make you better on my own. It's going to be a joint effort, or I'm not going to keep doing this, you know? So we are not the all-knowing healers that can help, you know, that can make people achieve a state of complete wellness. This is a team effort. And as we talk about, you know, what is your scope of practice as a massage therapist, like we mentioned earlier, you know, we're not the healer, the wellness maker, the anything. We have to help our clients know that we're collaborating to help them. We have some specific skills. We have some specific knowledge that we can get in and do some very specific things that do help people relieve pain and stuff, but we're not going to be able to magically make that happen. So we do know techniques that help the body go into the part of our nervous system that helps us rest, relax, rejuvenate, digest. So we are helping people to, their body can go into that state with the touch, with the massage, especially what you're learning in Foundations of Massage. So since massage is performed in the physical realm, though, we can look at the model, the wellness model, on physical health. So if illness is at one end and the wellness is at the other, then this shows a spectrum, and then massage therapy can help with that. So if someone is in a state, what are the physical benefits of massage? Sorry, I was a little distracted there. My brain had to go. Sorry, let me back up. So if we're doing massage in the physical realm, thinking of only the physical realm, what are effects of massage just on the physical realm? Yeah.
Increased blood flow.
Yeah.
Expanded range of motion.
Yeah, so range of motion, blood flow, what else?
Decreased stress.
Yeah, decreasing stress.
Decreased swelling.
Swelling. Well, we wouldn't be working on swelling necessarily, because inflammation is a local contraindication. Any others?
Decreasing tightness.
Yeah, tension. So we can help with a lot of physical things, right? And so it's not necessarily that the person is here and then they're going to come up and be here. That's not like a successful massage, right? But the goal that we're doing is trying to keep people moving on the trajectory. How can we help you move on that trajectory to more wellness for you, right? For you, client. What is wellness for you? What is your goal? And where are you looking to be, right? And that requires us to have that sense of respect for that other person, because their goal of wellness might be really different from ours, but we're still helping them on their journey to that. I need to stay on script so that I keep things in order and don't confuse you all. So hold on, let me find my place for a second. So treatment of pain is another one, right? If somebody's having a lot of pain, maybe we can help them reduce pain. Stress, right? If people have had a car accident, sometimes some kinds of like physical trauma, or like every time I close my eyes, I see that car doing whatever it was doing, right? That happens for a lot of people. And then you know, sometimes we're just working kind of in this middle ground. We're just helping maintain the way things are. We're not really trying to like make someone more well, but people know that regular massage stops them from getting tight, stops them from slipping back into the pain that they were having. So maybe they just get regular massage just to maintain kind of their state that they're in. Or maybe people really like just that connection of receiving positive, healing, healthy touch that is just neutral. It's not related to any other expectation for them except for just receiving positive, healthy touch. Really helping people, again, decrease stress, go into that healing part of the nervous system. But, of course, like some of you alluded to with some of your lovely suggestions here, we're not just physical only, right? We have all these other aspects to ourselves as humans and our experience of life, right? So what are some of the other continuums in our lives? We have physical. So what does this one fall into here? Balance in the
emotional.
Emotional. Mm-hmm. What else? Two more.
Spiritual.
Uh-huh. How much we relate to other people, how much we have that spiritual connection in our lives, our own mental health, how's that going? Emotional health, physical health, right? So, maybe people come to you for help in other realms. Maybe they're grieving for a loss in their lives. Maybe somebody has four kids and they have a lot of stress, right? Pain, right? And our goal, if we just think somebody coming to us with physical pain, maybe the goals that we write and the goals that we discuss are here in this physical, right? I feel this way, I want to feel this way, right? So help me move this way, right? But does that mean that your massage is only working on that and that you're not going to influence anything else? No, of course not. Because just by laying down and just by connecting with the part of our nervous system that helps us to rest and heal, we're also connecting with our emotional, with our mental, with our spiritual, with our social. Even though we're not chatting constantly with our client, it's still an interaction that's really positive for that person, right? And maybe that person is less distracted by pain or feels less sad or less stressed. Or maybe people can get out and return to doing yoga, doing other things that maybe affect spiritual but also social aspects. I couldn't do yoga because my hip was hurting so badly, but now that it feels better, I can go back and do yoga, which lets me see my friends and connect and really meditate and do those things that I need to do to be good. How about me? Let's take me as an example. My physical health, I'll optimistically put it about here, right? I work at a desk a lot, but I walk to and from the bus, right? I hope I don't have to run. Emotional health. I checked my phone this morning and saw the news and read the OPB, and so my emotional health is low, right? My mental health, kind of the same sometimes, like, where am I at today with the news and the questions and all the things going on, right? Spiritually, it depends. Like, some days I'm okay, some days I'm not. Some days I'm saying, why? Why is this happening, right? And socially, all of the stress of something, sometimes I'm like, I can't take one more thing, right? And still, you know, people can't really visit each other, so maybe socially I'm kind of a little lower. So if I get a massage, it definitely relaxes my muscles, right? But I also get to feel calm, and I feel happier after massage. I feel a little more like, okay, I can do this, right? And it's like, oh yeah, that's right. People are really studying things to help other people. They are taking care of other people. There are people who are really giving that to other people. Like, it renews my faith in humanity. And I get to connect, even though I'm not chatting with that massage therapist. I get to have somebody who's just really a presence, and we get to be in that presence together. So even though I came in because of maybe a little bit of some kind of pain, all of these other things are helped. Now, it's not that the massage therapist heard that I was kind of down and pulled up a chair and said, tell me about your childhood, right? I'm so interested about this, right? That's not going to happen because that's out of our scope of practice. So we talked about that a little bit again. Scope of practice, what we're trained to do, what we're licensed to do. So we're not counselors, we're not therapists, we're not, you know, solving anyone's emotional problems. But it's not that we're not going to ever have an effect on them, right? Sometimes if someone's crying on the table, just having your steady, grounded presence there with them, that is so powerful. Saying and doing nothing but just sitting there with your hand on them, being grounded and being present for that with them, is going to make a difference. And our work does affect people on multiple dimensions. It's really powerful. So the things we say, our perceptions, our attitudes, our way that we greet and treat other people makes a huge difference for them, for what they experience and how they have the opportunity to move towards their own wellness. So while we do have a primary focus on physical wellness, right? When people come to us, they're mostly talking about something in their body. On the figure of a person on the piece of paper, they're circling something on their body that is hurting. When we're talking to them, we're clarifying something about that thing. And we're not necessarily asking questions about how things are going in their personal life or what's going on. But we also know that if somebody's feeling down, or, you know, we know that they're different from how they usually are, maybe in that massage we're just a little bit slower. Maybe we're a little bit more intentional about our grounding. Maybe we're helping them to take some breaths. Maybe we're helping them to connect with their own body as they lay on the table and get started with the massage, right? So we do have the ability to put those things in for others. As you go through the program, we'll be looking at scope of practice and therapeutic relationships. You talk about scope of practice quite a bit, and questions to ask, and those lovely situations where people will go, what about this? And you'll be like, heck no, right? So you're going to talk about all of those things and learn about those things. And then that continues throughout the program. There's always that is built into the curriculum. Talking about scope of practice and kind of, what's that word where you clarifying something of what you're doing versus not doing, right? How you say it versus don't say it. What are you going to offer versus not offer, right? Just like we talked about with rashes, we're not saying you have COVID. We're saying go to your doctor. So those kinds of things we'll be continuing to talk about. Reading assignments for your class, we're going to talk about the syllabi in a little bit. They're in your folders. And do make sure you're doing the reading for class, because we are, you know, following the safety protocols and making sure everything's sanitized, and going through all that in class is going to take just a few more minutes, which is really important, and we're definitely going to do it. But what that means is there might be not as much time for the teacher to hold up all the books you were supposed to read and review all the reading assignments that everybody was supposed to do. So make sure that you're looking at those and keeping up so that when you get to class, you're ready to talk about those or ask questions, because sometimes you read something and you're like, wait, I thought I read something 2 days ago that said the opposite of this. Like, what is this? Why is it like that? Why does it say this? So whether it's just knowing the thing or knowing what you need to ask questions about, either way, it's really important. Okay, any questions about this? We are gonna have another break. until 12 o'clock, and then we will begin with the next bit about policies and procedures, just to go through a little bit of that, and you all will be done at 1 o'clock. So remember again, if you go outside, you're going to probably need your badge to get back in. The building is on the schedule to be checking and signing people in. You probably don't need to sign in again if you already did, but they might ask to see your badge. And then just remember, you all have hand sanitizer on your tables, so if you touch your phone, the doors, the outside, whatever, just spray your hands when you come in so that you sanitize your hands before you sit down again.